This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more. Done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Hello and welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. What's up, everybody? I'm Rachel Zimmerman. Man, it's been a busy week. I feel like a lot has happened this week, and a lot of it has to do with St. Louis, which is, you know, convenient because this is a show that tries to center on St. Louis, particularly all the cool things that are happening or all the positive things that are happening. I really do try to put a spotlight on that if I can. And I told you last week that today's show would be all about downtown, and it is. So to start the show, I'm going to talk about a couple of things, but my first guest in the next segment's name is Dennis Boganovich. He is a downtown resident and a frequent tweeter. I guess he's an Xer now because they've changed the name of the website from Twitter to X. But I've been following Dennis for a while because he was always posting really interesting things about downtown St. Louis, crime data and, you know, information about new developments and historical things about old buildings in downtown St. Louis. So he's very knowledgeable. He has a lot to say about downtown St. Louis, and we're going to talk to him in the next segment. But a couple of things that have happened this week. First of all, I want to say RIP to the RFT. Really sad to see the Riverfront Times sold off the way it was. Felt very unceremonious. It's a real shame. It's also kind of a weird coincidence that last week Ray Hartman was on the program and we were talking about the RFT quite a bit. And he was talking about how proud he was and, you know, how great Sarah Fenske and the entire RFT staff was doing. And, you know, I agreed with him. I felt like, you know, even just like the past couple of weeks, they put out some really great articles. It wasn't as if anything was wrong and they got sold off. And now, I mean, it feels like we're just not going to have that paper anymore. And if it does come back, you know, as a website or something, it's not going to have all the amazing people who have written for it in the past. So that was a real shame. Sorry to see that go. Yeah, it's just a sad one. Also announced this week, Kara Spencer, who was actually my first ever guest on the Rachel Zimmerman Show and has come on a couple of times, announced she is running for mayor. And she ran in the last election cycle, too, against Tashara Jones. Tashara Jones told KMOX, you know, it's a democratic process. Anyone who, I think she said, anyone who can run will. So we have another Kara Tashara matchup coming up, I suppose, which is, it will be interesting. I'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I will be interested to see how that plays out, I should say. But am I the only one who feels like, why do we have all these repeating elections? I mean, nothing against either of those two women. Again, it'll be a very interesting race. But then we've got Joe Biden and Donald Trump running against each other again. It's just like, oh, okay, I guess history is just repeating itself. So we'll see how that plays out. Maybe we'll get Kara back on the show soon to talk about her campaign. Let's see what else is going on downtown. I saw this article on KSDK's website earlier this week, and the title of the article is Businesses Around Busch Stadium See Drop in Sales Again Due to Cardinals Losses and Lower Fan Turnout. Now, the Cardinals have not been doing so bad, you know, this week and last week. They've, you know, you know, you love to see it. We love whenever the Cardinals are playing well, but that has not been the case the entire season. And I went to the game on Wednesday this week, and you do talk about low fan turnout. Now, I know it's the middle of the day and the middle of the week, but there were not a lot of people in the seats, and that is going to affect businesses downtown. That makes me feel really bad. We need the Cardinals down here. We absolutely need the Cardinals. We need the Cardinals to be good. We need people to want to come to games and want to hang out downtown. And there's just such a difference in that area of downtown in particular from when there's a game to when there's not a game, obviously. Because you see all these people in Cardinal red. They're running around. They're getting drinks. They're getting food. They're hanging out. They're having an amazing time. If you take that away, you take away a lot of business downtown. So it's just a real shame. I'd love to see the Cardinals just skyrocket and do amazing the rest of the season. And I'd really love to see downtown St. Louis on the upswing. You know, I love downtown St. Louis. I love working down here. People complain about it a lot because there is this perception of it's a really dangerous place or it's a really depressing place. I disagree with that. I go places by myself downtown all the time. It's not a problem during the day. I mean, part of it not wanting to do things at night is just because of the fact that I'm a woman and I don't want to be running around by myself at night, basically anywhere. But no, I like to walk to the park. I like to walk to the coffee shop. There's many, many cool and amazing things to do downtown. We have a privilege. I feel privileged to work down here. I lived in Lafayette Square for a long time, close to downtown St. Louis. Never felt like unsafe or unwelcome there or anything. A lot of it is perception. A lot of it is seeing kind of cherry picked stories on the news. And or maybe you hear about someone who, you know, got their window smashed in or got something stolen out of their car. Those are real things. Those are real things that happen, but it's not happening to everyone all the time. That is impossible. So perception is a big thing, and I'm going to talk about that with Dennis in the next segment. I'm excited to get his perspective on the situation because he lives down here. He doesn't just work down here like I do. He lives in downtown St. Louis, and he is a believer in it. So we're going to get his thoughts when we come back. Let's take a break now, and you're listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. You're listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop assemble and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. I'm joined now by Dennis Boganovich. He's a downtown St. Louis resident. And Dennis, I also wrote down that you're a downtown St. Louis enthusiast. I hope that's an okay word to use, but that's what popped into my mind whenever I was booking you for the show. I started following you on Twitter a while back because you are so passionate about downtown and just have your finger on the pulse as far as what's happening down here. So thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for hanging in. I think that's a fairly fair description. I always say that the negativity lane about St. Louis is a traffic jam, so I'm going to go in a different direction. Why be stuck in traffic?
I like that. You know, that's kind of the goal of my show is, I don't know if we hit the mark every time, but I try to focus on the good things happening in St. Louis because there are so many good things, and it's so easy to be negative about everything, especially people who don't live in the city. They have this, like, it feels like they have an agenda sometimes to be negative and, you know, just spread as much, I hate to keep using the word negativity, but as possible. So on my show, like, I do like to highlight, like, the good things that are happening. So let's start out by just go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us how long you've lived in downtown St. Louis.
Yes. Yeah, so I've been in downtown since 2017. Previously, I lived in Southampton. I owned a house. A couple summers, you know, go on vacation, come back, grass is a foot high. And I just decided I was tired with maintaining a house, cutting grass, getting estimates on a new roof and all that type of stuff. So and at that time, I also met my wife, now wife, and she already lived down here. So and I always wanted to live downtown. So in 2017, I went to Europe. She got my house ready for sale, sold that, and then moved down here and been here since. And then I've been in this building since 2019.
Very nice. How do you view downtown St. Louis versus the perception we see, like, by the media and just overall public perception?
Yeah, so, you know, the perception that you see specifically on social media, it's very different from someone like me that is down here. I live down here. I work from home. I go take a walk at lunch. I take a walk after work, before work. And you see stuff online that, you know, then you walk out and go for a walk to the Arch and back. And you're like, why am I not seeing these things that people think that happened down here?
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are convinced that if they come to downtown St. Louis, their car is going to get stolen. They'll get robbed or shot or whatever. The odds of any of those happening are incredibly low. Do they happen? Yes. But the idea that you will come down here and something bad is going to happen to you is just not reality. It's not supported by my life experience of somebody that's walked 16,000 miles over the last 4 years in downtown, nor is it backed up by data. And then, you know, every year I tell people just for sports, so between the Cardinals, the Battlehawks, City SC, Blues, and then all these one-off events at Enterprise Center or at the Dome, about 6 million people come downtown for sports and nothing happens to them. Mm-hmm. They have a good time, they go home, and the cycle just keeps repeating.
Yeah, that perception is so frustrating because, I mean, I've lived close to downtown. I've never lived downtown, but I've worked downtown for 10 years now. And I love it down here. It's just, I feel like people think I'm not going there because something bad will happen, like you said. And then it's a vicious cycle where it feeds into itself where there's kind of not enough people downtown. Yeah. So then you get down here and, like, you're the only person walking down the block and you feel maybe that makes people feel unsafe.
Yeah, I think part of the reason is also just the way we consume news now. It's so accessible. One example that I give people is that, and you hear this online a lot where people, you know, from different generations, well, they'll say, well, I went in downtown in the 80s and 90s, and it was just this great time. But in 1993, we had 16,000 violent crimes in the city. And in 2023, 30 years later, we had 4,000, so 75% drop. Now, you can say population is less, but population drop is about 20% between those two. But what's changed is that we all have cell phones and it's just this constant, you see this information much quicker. But in 1993, the only way you may have heard about a crime happening is if you watch your nightly news or if you read the newspaper. Mm-hmm. So it was accessible, but not as easily accessible because you can have a crime happen anywhere in 5 minutes from now and you'll see it online in 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of clouding perception on just overall safety. But when it comes to violent crime, you know, the data that I've tried collecting from SLPD and then also from FBI and various sources we haven't had this few violent crimes like we did in 2023, probably going back to the 60s. But what's really driving perception is also these petty crimes that are more likely going to affect me and you or anybody, like broken car window, stolen car, which now they're finally getting back to pre-COVID levels. So I think that people may tie that into, well, if this is happening more frequent, maybe these things are. But there's really no correlation between violent crime and some of these car thefts.
Yeah, talking about this crime data, you sent me this very helpful table that I'm looking at now, and it looks like all crime is down. What's something that you've come across while like going over this data that you think would really surprise people?
I think people are always wondering, well, why, you know, we just had one of the lowest homicides totals in a decade and violent crime is really low. So, you know, people are always looking for why. And one of the things that I'm noticing in once you kind of dig deeper into the categories is that the police department is arresting more people for gun violations. So what that tells me is they're catching somebody before they use that gun to rob someone or shoot someone. So those have really skyrocketed in the last 2 years, up 50, 60% over the previous years, where more people are getting arrested before they can commit a crime. And that's been a strategy, I believe, the new police chief is to kind of trying to get those things to stop before they get to a violent crime.
What do you think some of the biggest challenges are that we face downtown?
I think one of the, you know, a lot of times you'll hear, you know, all kinds of things get blamed. But one thing that I think doesn't get talked about enough is I think the business community, big corporations have kind of abandoned downtown. And to me, what's really surprising about this is these are CEOs, CFOs, people that have, you know, didn't just stumble into those positions. So they're very smart, intelligence people that I cannot believe that they did not realize that you cannot be a suburb of nowhere. So what that means is, you know, if nobody knows about the city of St. Louis, they don't care about Chesterfield. Nobody cares how nice 270 and 64 are, or St. Charles, Austin, Nashville, all those places have a St. Charles. But do you know about it? I don't know about it. So the point is that you need to have a strong central city, a place where people want to be. And then when they do come here, then they'll realize, hey, if I want a different type of lifestyle, if I want a house with more backyard, maybe I'll move to, you know, one of those suburbs. So I think it's in everybody's interest for the city of St. Louis to grow, and that starts in downtown.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Better together is obviously not a thing anymore, but how did you feel about that whenever it was coming up?
You know, I thought that effort obviously would have made, you know, probably wouldn't fix some of our structural issues, but it would have bought us enough goodwill where the perception would have changed. Because then our biggest issue is trying to battle these perceptions about crime numbers, about this and that. So when you kind of combine all that, it buys you that goodwill where that's no longer the focus. And then you can kind of in the background work to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're constantly battling these headlines about this and that, and some of that, you know, there's obviously a crime issue in here. But part of when we get compared to other places, part of the issue is the way our boundaries are at 64 square miles. So Kansas City across the state is 300 square miles. So everything inside of 270, imagine everything inside of 270 as city limits. So now when you spread that data across all that population, we're no longer getting these headlines as the third, fourth, fifth, whatever most dangerous. Because, you know, when I talk to friends that have moved from the city to the suburbs, you know, they don't cite crime as much as they cite education, early childhood education, things like that. You know, I've been here 27, 26 years. My mom, my brother, my entire family. You know, there hasn't ever been an instance where we're thinking about, well, let's move because of crime. You obviously have to be smart about it. You know, even down here, you know, I park in a garage. I rarely drive. That helps you. But, you know, to me, I would be more worried about getting into a disabling car crash driving from Chesterfield to a Cardinals game than I would be of being a victim of a crime in downtown.
So back to that crime data really quick. I look at these numbers and I say, this is great. Crime is down. But then I see, you know, you do have naysayers who are like, oh, they've cooked the numbers. This is not accurate at all. Yeah. What do you say to those people?
I tell those people to show me, like, I'm not the expert in this like the police are, but mm-hmm. I know enough to know, like, you could see, you know, you always hear excuses. Well, when crime is up, then the data is fine. It must mean that it's up. But when it's down, it's also up because the data is cooked. So like, that logic doesn't make sense. So does that mean, or they'll say, well, the police are not responding to calls. Well, then you cite data where it shows that the city 911 now is meeting national standards and answering 911 calls. But then the goalpost just moves. Well, it's not that. And one thing that I point out is that victimless crimes are going up. So it doesn't make logical sense that a victimless crime with no victim would go up, but crime with victims are going down because people are not reporting or whatever. Mm. And then one example I always like to give is theft of cars. I don't know about you or anybody else, but there's no chance that I would not report that my car was stolen because I would need that to deal with insurance. So theft of cars is down like 40% this year over last year through April. So you would have to believe that 700 people decided my $50,000 truck, forget it. I'm just going to not report it. I'm not going to go to insurance and I'm just going to take the loss.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. And then also, I think there are plenty of people within the police department who would also speak out if that was the case. But then there's also these other things, like if shootings were not down, I think that hospital emergency rooms would kind of say something. Well, city's reporting 50% down in shootings, but we're still seeing the same amount of patients. And you're not seeing that either.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I think some people are just negative by nature and they're never going to accept good news and you just kind of move on.
Stay tuned to KMOX to hear part two of my interview with Dennis Boganovich on The Rachel Zimmerman Show. I'm talking with Dennis Boganovich. He is a downtown St. Louis resident. He keeps a very close eye on all things downtown. What are some of the things that we have going on downtown that you think would surprise people who don't live here and never come down here?
Yeah, I think how family friendly it is. If you go to Union Station, you know, the latest version that's been open since late 2019, and despite opening going right into COVID, it's been a huge success and now they're expanding. You know, one thing that I do, I usually in the morning or at lunch, I take a walk down to the Arch. It kind of rhymed. and one thing that I think a lot of people would be surprised is how many different languages you hear at the Arch. You know, people from all over the world. And I think people kind of, you know, everybody has these memories of the Arch and McDonald riverboats and all these things. And I'm like, well, except the riverboat, the Arch is still there. So you can still go see it. You can experience it. The new expansion and addition is wonderful. And it's finally, you know, getting the visitors that they thought they would. You know, I think just in March and April during spring break, how many families you see walking that in, you know, St. Louis for probably about a 250 to 300 mile radius is very attractive to families to visit because of the free cultural attractions and all these things that we have. And then also restaurants. Like You got some of these new ones that have opened on Washington Avenue, like Havana's, Cuban, the amazing Arepa place, Nigerian food too. So you have all these restaurants that they're all doing well. I think people would be surprised about that. You know, if you go talk to, you know, restaurants that have multiple locations in a region, so Sugar Fire, Salt and Smoke, Katie's Pizza, their downtown locations are their best selling ones.
Wow.
And I think people sometimes forget that, you know, let's leave out sports. Last Wednesday, we went to Katie's Pizza at Ballpark Village for dinner. There was no sports in town, and the place was packed. I think people forget that despite real or perceived issues, like if I was opening a restaurant, the best place for it to succeed is downtown because mm-hmm. you're always going, you know, there's 13,000 residents. There's probably still about 40,000 workers on any given week that show up. There's conventions, there's visitors, there is the sports too. So for a area that's 2 square miles, it's probably the only place where you can get 200,000 people like we did on Saturday or on Sunday between the Battle Hawks, the Cardinals, and the parade. You know, so there's parades, marathons, there's all these things to draw customers to your business. And I think people would be surprised that, you know, one thing that I always share is that more restaurants have opened than closed since COVID. I think people would be very surprised about that. You know, I tell people that I haven't been down here in a while. Just come here when there's no sports and kind of see for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are things that you're not going to find down here that, you know, I think in the next 3 or 4 years are going to change. You know, while we do have a grocery store, Chinook's there, I think having more options on that front. And then also one interesting tad bit. So I've flown the Lufthansa flight a couple of times, and I talked to the staff because they, you know, if they arrive here on the Monday flight, they stay at the Marriott or somewhere downtown till Wednesday, or if they get here Wednesday, they still till Friday. And they love it, but the only thing they're like, well, if I want to buy clothes, I have to get an Uber or whatever and go to South County Mall or Galleria. So I think having that type of stuff is what's really lacking. But I think we're reaching a critical point when it comes to population, because that's the thing that's still doing well down here. In 2000, there was 2,800 residents in downtown and downtown west, and now that's grown to 13,000. So the downtown zip codes are always one of the top five in the region when it comes to residential growth, and that's still happening. And I think in the next couple of years, there'll be additional couple thousand apartments added. So once you reach a critical mass of people that are always here, then you'll see some of those stores open.
I love that you walk to the Arch so often. I think a lot of people think, you know, oh, you live downtown, you must be sick of the Arch. But I mean, it still draws you in.
Yeah, you always, you know, it's always, to me, it's always interesting. And one joke that I always tell, I run into the superintendent there a couple times. It's like, I wish somebody would give me a dollar every time somebody asked me to take a photo of them at the Arch or point them where the entrance is. Because a lot of people have memories of the Arch, and you always would come in at the legs. And now that's different. So if you park down at the riverfront, I constantly see people walking from one leg to another looking confused. How do I get in this place? Despite very good signage on the ground pointing them up to the right direction.
So you mentioned you've walked 16,000 miles since 2020. Most of those have been downtown. How walkable of a city is St. Louis? Because sometimes when I'm trying to cross Tucker or something, I'm going, I wish we had a little better of a system going here.
Yeah, Tucker is, you know, it was built for a different era that I don't think we're going to have anymore. To me, it's not necessary to have 3-4 lanes of traffic on Tucker. And there is a project coming up this fall that'll kind of address some of that. To me, you know, walking, you know, it's very walkable. I can get to most places that I need to, you know, within a mile or 2 mile walk. But thing that I always try to point out and that I've become really focused on, is, you know, we always have these events down here, parades, this and that, and stuff gets left over blocking access. And you may think, well, it's just a little plastic barrier. It's not a big deal. And I always try to put myself in a position of somebody that's in a wheelchair or pushing a stroller. And then, you know, that's when some of these sidewalks where to a able body, they may not be a big issue. So I think there's some ways to go there. You know, lighting has improved. I think, you know, around this building and some of the other ones, I think sometimes it's a little too bright at nighttime. I mean, it's bright as day with some of these new LED lights down here. So I think, you know, it's walkable. You can get to anywhere. You know, we constantly walk to City Games, walk to Busch Stadium, Edward Jones Dome, or not Edward Jones Dome anymore, the Dome just now, and Enterprise Center, of course, just right across the street. You know, there's a lot of things that could be improved, and there's some projects that the city and Greater STL Link are working on, Broadway, 4th, 7th Street, and then Tucker.
Are you a MetroLink rider?
Yeah, I take MetroLink. You know, I travel a lot for work, so I take it to the airport. I also take it to see my mom. So my mom lives in St. Louis Hills. I take it to Shrewsbury and then walk a mile back into the city where she lives. Mm. And then, you know, I'm hoping now once the Target opens at Grand MetroLink stop, take it there. I have a heavy-duty cart that I load up with groceries. So looking forward to that. And then also eventually once there is a there's supposed to be a pedestrian bridge built by Great Rivers Greenway that connects basically the Armory parking lot to City Foundry. So now you can take the train to Grand and then have a much safer and easier way to get to the Foundry.
That's very cool. Yeah, I feel like MetroLink has a bit of a safety perception problem as well. But you don't, I mean, you don't really hear that much like on the news about things actually happening. You do hear about isolated incidents, but I think the perception is like, oh, I don't want to take the Metro. It's not safe.
Yeah, you know, I of course, with all kinds of data, I looked into the Metro crime statistics, and I would say that 90% of their reported crimes happen off the, or at least on the MetroLink system, happen in the park and ride parking lots, not at the on the train itself or the station. And there's a very good reason for that. Now, I'm not a criminal, but if I was, and if I wanted to break into a car, what a perfect opportunity than a park and ride where somebody parks at 7 a.m., leaves for 9 hours, mm-hmm. and there's car. And that's where most of the crime happens in Metrolink, is people breaking into cars in these park and rides. And I think Metro has been working through that with, you know, upgrading. Now they're doing the closed station, so now you'll have to have a ticket to open a gate to get in, but also better lighting and cameras and stuff in the parking lots. But, you know, I'm never going to discount somebody saying that, you know, they don't feel safe, but I've taken Metrolink pretty regularly, you know, not every day. For the most part, I mean, you just mind your own business and nothing happens.
So you kind of hinted at a development with Tucker. What are some upcoming developments downtown that you're excited about?
Yeah, so there's, you know, one thing that we've always... Just a broader point as a region, we always try to hit a grand slam with nobody on base, which is not possible. Mm-hmm. So we're always trying to do these huge projects to change a trajectory when you just kind of need to take a walk, hit by a pitch, hit a couple singles, load the bases up, and then swing for a grand slam. So I'm more excited about these, you know, one-off, like the building across the street here, the former Post-Dispatch building that got turned into 65 apartments. But then also the Union Station expansion, where they're going to kind of build out rest of their, you know, with the play, with the wheel and mini golf and all those rides, they're going to kind of add on to that next summer. But the biggest project that I think people are just kind of starting to pay attention is just down south of the Arch, the Gateway South project, which is, when fully built out, $1.2 billion. And what is the main purpose of it is to basically manufacture homes. And then you put those homes on a barge and ship them all over the world. But the biggest benefit to the city is that the sales tax on that home will be paid in the city.
Very cool.
So that is a huge potential revenue for the city, also jobs, and then also fixing this dilapidated area that hasn't been used since the 70s. And then, you know, right across the street with the Jefferson Arms building that should be opening up next summer with 220 apartments and same number of hotel rooms. And then, you know, on Friday, the mayor announced that Greater SDL Link and SLDC are going to work together on a plan for the Railway Exchange building, which I think is really of the four big vacant buildings in downtown. And now 10 years ago, there used to be 12. So we've made a lot of progress. Now we're down to these four big buildings: Railway Exchange, Chemical Building, Millennium Hotel, and AT&T Tower. So they're going to work on a plan in the next 120 days for Millennium Hotel and Railway Exchange. And then I've talked to and met with the new owner of the AT&T building. I think he is very serious about redeveloping it. And I think a lot of people will be surprised on how quickly that can happen starting this summer. So those are, you know, once you take care of those three buildings, which is, you know, easier said than done, there's a lot of complications. Things can go wrong, interest rates, all these things that can go wrong. But at that point, then what it becomes is there's really no large buildings to renovate, and then you'll start seeing new construction, which I think is really exciting because we do have some spaces in downtown where if you do put a building that kind of closes this gap of, like, there's nothing going on that block.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is all incredibly exciting. You know what I would love to see in the future is some more, like, some pocket parks. I've seen that happen in other cities, and they're just so beautiful. Like, I mean, we have City Garden downtown, which is probably my favorite park in the entire city. Yeah. If we could somehow expand that to other places downtown, I think that would be amazing.
Yeah. Glad you mentioned City Garden, which are having their expansion party this Saturday, mm-hmm. The 25th. And that's incredible space. And there, you know, there's that one little park there on, I think, 10th and Locust, maybe. But yeah, I think it's just having these spaces that people want to be at. Like, you know, we have these two big parks around, you know, around this building. But there's, like, you know, there's really no place to sit.
Right.
It's not a place where you want to hang out. It's mostly people just taking their dogs out. So yeah, I think having places, you know, that people want to be at. But, you know, but for that to happen, you got to also have... they got to have something to do there besides just a bench to sit on.
Right.
So, you know, does the city or somebody work with a restaurant? And one of the things they're doing this summer, starting in, I think June 6th is the first one at Keener Plaza. They'll have every Thursday happy hours. Just come hang out. So maybe that will be something that starts.
So this is my final question for you. If you look 10, 15 years into the future, what are your hopes for downtown St. Louis?
The biggest one I hope is that the business community, especially big businesses, start taking some more pride because this is the only downtown that we have. As much as people want to push downtown Clayton as an alternative, but it's really not. Downtown Clayton is a place where people go to work, but you're not going to catch a soccer game there. You're not going to catch a football game, baseball, hockey, concert, comedy shows. So at the end of the day, it's a place where people go to work. And as we've found out since COVID, less people go to work, even there. So I think the business community has to realize that this is our only downtown. This is a place where somebody that comes for a convention sees somebody passing through town. So this is really the first impression. And it's going to benefit somebody sitting in St. Charles County that we have a better downtown, even if they don't come here, just as much as it would benefit me.
Well, Dennis, thank you so much for weighing in. This has been great. I hope you'll come back on the show someday.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Dennis Boganovich. That was really interesting to get his perspective on downtown St. Louis. He's coming from a really good place, and this is not someone who just happens to live downtown. I mean, he is someone who is very passionate about where he lives and has a very clear vision of what downtown St. Louis could be. And I think of what it currently is. You know, a lot of times we get all muddled up in, you know, what we see on the news or what people are saying on social media. The reality can be quite different sometimes. The way you perceive things can just get a little bit off kilter. So it was great to talk to him. If you missed any part of the conversation, if you would like to go back and listen again, you can always podcast the show on the Odyssey app or anywhere else you get your podcasts. All right, I wanted to follow up on my little cicada rant from last week. I must have been in a mood or something because I was like, the cicadas aren't that bad. I haven't seen any proof that the cicadas are as big of a deal as people would have us believe. Again, it's the whole perception. You know, you can see things on the news, you can see things on social media, but if I don't have cicadas flying in my face, I don't think they're a problem, right? I'm a little bit of a hypocrite here. Last week, I was calling for people to send photos of their cicadas. John sent, Real John Dub on Twitter sent quite a few photos of his cicada infestation. All right, I'm a believer. I believe that it's happening. I also went to the park the other night. Now, look, in my neighborhood, there are not a lot of cicadas. I'll be walking around and I'll see their carcasses on the sidewalk, but it is not a lot by any means. But when I walked through the park, they were super loud and it was like, okay, they are here. Is it the apocalypse that I was promised? No, not yet. And I don't even want that to happen. It's just, you know, when you're told a certain thing and you're expecting it and it doesn't show up, it's just a little odd. So if you have a huge cicada infestation, I'm still interested. Send me pictures on Twitter, Rachel Z STL. I'd love to hear from you there. Or if, you know, if there's anything unrelated you would like to talk about, maybe something we could do on the show, you can always get at me on Twitter, Rachel Z STL. You can also follow me on Instagram, Rachel Z STL, same handle. All right. Let's talk about Red Lobster here for a second. If you listen to the Dave Glover Show, you know I'm a huge fan of Red Lobster. And I actually went like 2 weeks ago, right before they announced officially that they were filing for bankruptcy. I'm sad about that, but none of the Red Lobsters in my area were closed. So, you know, what a gigantic relief. But I'm looking at one of those Verify articles right now that kind of goes in and, you know, verifies whether or not a story you heard is actually true. And this one says, no, Red Lobster's endless shrimp deal is not the main reason the chain went bankrupt. How interesting. I saw so many articles, so many headlines saying, yep, it's because of that endless shrimp. They did that and people were so greedy that they had to start closing down the restaurants and filing for bankruptcy. Lots of people on Twitter or X, I'm sorry, I always do that. Lots of people on X claiming that Red Lobster is going bankrupt because people took all-you-can-eat shrimp too literally. But that's not why. This Verify article says that it's due to other factors like high rent costs and low sales. So, you know, if you are a Red Lobster fan like me and you took part in the endless shrimp deal, you don't have to feel that guilty anymore, right? All right, guys, I think that's it for me this week. I appreciate each and every one of you, everyone who listens to the program as it's live on KMOX, and everyone who downloads the podcast. You guys are the absolute best. Really appreciate it. Again, if you have any feedback about the show, you can always talk to me on Twitter. You can send me an email, rachel.zimmerman@odyssey.com. I would love to hear from you. All right, guys, I hope you have an amazing weekend. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.